Program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Thank you for the warm weather and the fact that spring seems to be finally arriving here in Northeast Ohio. And Lord, just pray that you would bless the program today. Help us, Lord, to point people to Christ. Help us to help people to see that the Bible makes sense and that it can be believed. It's a reasonable book written for reasonable people to believe. And Father, just pray that you would just use the things we talk about to direct people to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as it come on the air here today, it's spring here in Northeast Ohio, finally. Last Sunday at our nursing home service, the nursing home that we go into, I saw my first spring flowers. That was kind of nice to see. Not exactly a crocus. It's another little flower that grows, not the snowdrops or crocuses, but a little blue flower that was springing up in the courtyard. And I'll tell you, watching the daffodils and tulips and other things starting to spring up out of the ground, won't be too much longer before they're starting to bloom. And certainly with the warm weather we've had this past week and now this rain, you know, the buds are swelling on the trees and it won't be too much longer and we'll have spring well under the way. And it's kind of nice after this long, cold winter that we've had. But I'll tell you, we had by close to an inch of rain at our house yesterday during the course of the day and into the night. It just a steady rain all day, still drizzling a lot in spots out there. But I tell you what, I'd rather have the warmer temperatures and a little drizzle, a little rain than all this cold weather and snow that we've been socked with so much here this past long winter. Well, talking about all the rain and everything, going to get into a subject here this afternoon. And of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. But just to get started here this morning, a lot of people have been talking and asking questions about this movie that's out there, the Noah movie. As I've been able to determine, I've not seen it. I really don't have any real plans to go out and see it. But from what I've heard and what I've read about it, it seems like the most biblical thing of the movie is the name, Noah. I don't know if it goes much more than that. There's a lot of problems there, but we can talk about that. And we can look at a few things. But in regards to the Noah movie, and of course the account of Noah and the flood in Genesis, you can read that in Genesis chapter 6, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read that right now, but let me look at something here real quick that I saw online here just the other day that I thought was kind of humorous in a sense. Over in England, the University of Leicester, a group of physics students did a study of Noah's Ark. Now, other studies have been done of Noah's Ark, and they found that if you build a boat or a ship the size and the dimensions of Noah's Ark, it's a very stable platform or vessel in turbulent waters. In fact, it can be tipped, I guess, over 60 degrees, and it'll still right itself, which is quite amazing. But it shouldn't be because God gave them the dimensions to build it. But This group of physics students at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Leicester, they took the description, the biblical description of the ark, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high, and they settled on the length of a cubit, which is approximately 18 inches, being 48.2 centimeters long. And they found, because they were addressing the question, could the ark support the weight of all the animals? And that's been some criticism. They said all the animals and then the food and stuff, the ark couldn't have supported the weight of it. It would have sunk. Well, they found that the ark could support the weight of 2.5 million sheep. Now, sheep is important because, as just about any biologist can tell you, the average size, if you look at all the animals that live or that are ever known to have lived, the average size is about that of a sheep. So that's where they're using the size of a sheep. And they said that a study suggested that there were approximately 35,000 species of animals in Noah's time. Now, we know that the Bible does not talk about species. It talks about kinds, and that's a big difference. For instance, there would not have to have been a dog, a coyote, and a wolf on the ark. There would have been one basic wolf-like animal, which after the ark, became through various adaptions and populations getting separated from each other, the dogs, wolves, and the coyotes. They're all basically the same animal. And again, with many other animals, it's the same thing. But they're using the study that they cited that said there's about 35,000 species of animals. And when they looked at this, this is great. One of the students, 22-year-old, said, "You don't think of the Bible necessarily as scientifically accurate source of information. So I guess we were quite surprised when we discovered it would work. We're not proving that it's true, but the concept would definitely work." And so they found, using sound scientific principles and studying the size of the ark and being made of wood and all that, that it would have been more than up to the task of supporting each of 35,000 species of animals, as well as the food and everything. And kind of interesting. Once again, science proving the accuracy of the Bible. We are listening to Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy calling in this afternoon. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. I heard you talking about Noah's Ark, and could the Ark support all these animals, 35,000 species or something like that? And I did hear that movie, Noah, had 20 biblical errors, and some Bible expert.
Lot more than that from what I've read.
Well, I mean, at least 20. But to get to what I wanted to ask you about, I know that the Bible says, I don't know the reference, I'm a little bit woefully ignorant on this, something about bringing all your thoughts under the subjection of God or something like that. You're supposed to not even have sinful thoughts, which is such a challenge. You know, I know we're not supposed to commit, you know, actual acts, but
right.
The one Bible verse, "Be ye angry and sin not," I always thought, although Pastor Andy corrected me on Wednesday, I always thought that you were allowed to be angry, you just don't sin. But he did expound on that, and I just wonder if you could give us like a little pep talk on how we could bring our thoughts, you know, make our thoughts more sanctified, if you could help us with that. Thank you.
Well, thought life really is kind of difficult sometimes to control. That is a hard thing because, you know, we've got a sin nature. And a lot of people think that, you know, what you think is okay as long as you don't act on it. But,
right.
You know, Jesus told in the Gospels that if you hate your brother, you're already guilty of murder. And that makes a lot of sense because
right.
When you think about it, there's a lot of people out there who would do things if they thought they could get away with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the sin begins in the heart. Jesus also said, "Whosoever looks upon a woman, looked on a woman to lust after her in his heart, has already committed, committed adultery with her in his heart."
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being, sin begins inside of you, and it looks for an opportunity to be acted out. And oftentimes, that's why God gave us laws and things like that. Situation is that the laws and stuff keep us from doing it. For instance, there were no police around, there's a lot more crime. And you can see that when there's like blackouts and things like that, and police aren't able to get into areas, people get in and crime rates go up inside of these cities all that. There's no restraint. Laws become a restraint. If people had a good nature, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, the Bible says. And for the unsaved person, there's no restraint of the Holy Spirit in their life. We do have a conscience, but people's hearts, become hardened and their conscience becomes seared, and they given over to sin. And so what happens is if there's no outside restraint, people will do things. Let me give you an example. There's a lot of various games out there. Now they're all on the computer, but years ago, before we had all these computers that we have today, people played role-playing games, and some of our audience might remember some of these games.
Charades?
No. I'm talking about where you actually create a character, and then you use that character as an extension of yourself in the game. Probably one of the biggest ones years ago was called Dungeons and Dragons.
I never played that.
Back, you know, 30 years. Isn't it satanic?
Wouldn't it be evil?
Well, yeah, without getting into that part of it, because other games came out. There were games where you could play superheroes and different things like that and all kinds of things. But I mentioned Dungeons and Dragons because that was one of the earlier ones. And a lot of people back in the 70s and 80s played that, especially in college and things like that. And the thing that you do in these games is you would create a character. And I don't get into too many computer games. And I imagine most of these are on the computer now and there's versions of it. But in this character, you would have adventures in the course of the game, and you would do things with your character that you would never do in reality, because in reality you might get hurt, you might get killed, you might get in trouble, you might, other consequences that you didn't want. But with your game, you could give free rein to the imaginations of the heart. And, well, that's the problem. You're giving free rein to the imaginations of the heart, and you're giving yourself over to sin, over to lust, over to all manner of wickedness in these games. And it's just like I was talking about Noah's flood earlier. One of the reasons that God condemned the world and said he was going to wipe out humanity, it says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's the problem. In the imaginations of the thoughts of our heart, without God changing us from within, he creates a new creature within us when we trust Christ as our Savior. We have a new nature within. We have a new spirit, and we still have the old sin nature, and that's why Paul said he died daily, on a daily basis. He crucified his flesh, because that's where the sin nature resides. And the unsaved person, though, on the other hand, the imagination of their heart, just like what it says in Genesis 6:5, is evil. Because the heart is wicked, it's deceitful, and that's why we need a new heart. We need to be saved. Now, the problem is, when we get saved, a lot of times we give ourselves over to these thoughts. We give ourselves over to some of the things that we used to do, and we begin to imagine foolish things, not just foolish things, but wicked things. Proverbs 6:18 says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet to be swift to running in mischief. And that's something that we need to take care against, our thought life. We can dwell on these things, and that's a problem with a lot of the movies that are out there. They cause us to dwell on wicked things, things that are contrary to God's word, things that tear us down rather than build us up. I remember reading something some time ago talking about art and modern art and about how one of the things in modern art, they like to produce art that's jarring. Art that's not peaceful or restive, but art that kind of sets you on edge, kind of sets up tension. And even with some of the music, they were talking about classical music, that style of music, and not getting into the pop and rock and all that, but they were talking about how contemporary music that's written along the classical lines a lot of times tries to create tension, tries to create stress, whereas the what we more normally think of classical music, the music of Handel and Bach and Beethoven and things like that, it brings rest and peace, and it's not stressful. It helps you relax. And they've actually done studies where Baroque music actually helps you concentrate and think and remember better, and even suggesting that
Baroque helped you remember better.
Yeah, somebody did a study, and they actually suggested that if you're studying and trying to learn things, you're better off playing Baroque music in the background because it helps you relax, and it helps you put you in a frame of mind where you can read and learn. And so music does have very powerful operation in our heart, in our mind. But getting back to the art and everything, it's jarring. And it's not restive, and that's because it's taken away from what God has. God wants to give us peace, and remember the Bible says that Jesus gives us peace, and He wants us to come unto Him and find rest. And there's a number of things that we can look at, but what happens then is that a lot of the movies that are being made today, they don't have a clearly defined hero, and in the course of the movie, he goes through his challenges like, stories used to traditionally always go, and then at the end, good wins out. You wind up with a flawed hero today that in the end, I can tie in the Noah movie. I was reading about it. Noah, instead of being presented as a preacher of righteousness, as the Bible says, he's almost a madman who tries to kill people because they were going to eat an animal. At the end of the thing, I guess, or during the thing, his one daughter-in-law gives birth to twin girls, I think it is, and he says he's going to kill them because he thinks his purpose is to merely keep the animals safe, and then after the flood, man would die out so the world could be free for all of the animals and such nots. All kinds of stuff like that. But he's now Noah is presented in the Bible with certain flaws because he was a human being and he had a sin nature. But the Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. Well, movies today, they don't like people like that. They have to do something to make them in some way psychotic of some sort. Then you come away from the movie not feeling, relaxed and not feeling like you've had something that's edified you or built you up, but something that stresses you and something
that's true.
Yeah, a lot of movies get you thinking wrong.
I've been to one movie in 15 years, so I really don't know.
Well, see, one of the reasons I don't go to movie theaters is I don't like the total control they have of the environment. And there's just too much studies about how they can put people into a semi-hypnotic state with the controlling of the subsonic bass that they boost. I remember years ago I worked at the Coliseum in Richfield when I was just getting out of high school, and it's back some years ago. And I remember I was working as an usher, and they had a concert coming in, and this guy was doing some kind of sound check, but you couldn't hear anything. And I asked him what he was doing. And he said, well, we're adjusting the subsonic bass. He says, you can't hear it, but your body feels it. And it was kind of interesting what this sound technician was doing. And he told me.
This was in the movie theater you're talking about?
No, this was in the Coliseum out in Richfield years ago for a rock concert.
I remember the Coliseum before I saw the Beach Boys.
I used to work there as an usher. And I remember, what I'm saying, one time before a concert, I never paid to go see a concert there, but I did I did work some concerts. And like I said, before the concert, he was adjusting the subsonic bass so that you could feel the music. And since then, I've read other things where they've said that's what they do. And part of the reason is it helps produce a semi-hypnotic state. Some people more suggestible than others. And they do the same thing in the movie theaters. I remember back in the early 80s when, the Dolby sound surround or whatever systems were being put in. And that was so you could feel, and they pump up that subsonic bass, and it makes you very suggestive. And then, of course, they begin like the whole Noah movie. It's basically man is evil, God is evil. It was the fallen angels that tried to help, and man is destroying the world, and we should turn it all over to wilderness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Environmentalism is the religion that it's preaching, and when you watch something at home on your television or on a DVD or something, you have control over it. You can get up, you can get away. You're not in a dark room with your attention centered on the images in front of you with the subsonic bass booming into you. It's a lot harder. It can be done, but it's a lot harder to achieve that semi-hypnotic state when you have the opportunity to get up and move around a lot more and have more distractions. But running out of time here, and getting back to your thing, the question about our thought life, we have to fill our mind with the things of God. That's why we need to study the scriptures. That's why we need to memorize scripture. That's why it's important for children to memorize scripture. I work in a nursing home, and you'll see people who have dementia and elderly people with dementia, and you know what? They'll still remember verses that they memorized as children, and they'll remember. You start singing a song that they sang in Sunday school as a child, and they'll remember that. And so we need to fill people's hearts with the things of God. God will keep them in perfect peace, the Bible says, whose mind is, stayed on him.
Can I just say one other thing real quick? Mm-hmm. I worked in a nursing home for 22 years, and I loved to have little church services and sing the hymns. And these people that had Alzheimer's, dementia, they couldn't even talk, and they knew the hymns.
Exactly. And, you put good things into somebody's heart, into their mind, and starting when they're young, it's going to be there. And we need to feed on the Word of God. We need to think on the things of God. We need to find out the things that have value, the things that have meaning, the things that are edifying, the things that are going to draw us closer to God. And the world is constantly throwing things at us that are designed to take us away from God, designed to weaken our relationship with God. And just like, again, this Noah movie, we shouldn't expect an atheist working in Hollywood to produce a movie that's going to give us a better appreciation of God and his word. In fact, I believe the producer said that this is probably the least biblical movie that there is. And I would be in agreement with him on it from what I've read. But at any rate, that's what we need to, we need to study the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God. We need to train up our children. We need to help people. That's why church is important. That's why it's more important in these latter days that we get together with other believers and worship God and pray one for another and lift each other up. And it's a difficult world. And if we're not careful, our thought life, the world will get a hold of it, get a foothold in there. And as you start thinking evil thoughts, eventually you're going to look for ways to do them. Hey, we're about out of time. Appreciate the call, Nancy.
Thank you, Pastor. And that was excellent.
All right. And I want to mention next week we're going to have a guest on talking about the blood moon phenomena. We've been getting a lot of questions about that. Somebody, I guess, had called in earlier and asked about that. Carl Gallops is the individual that's going to be on with us, Carl Gallops. That'll be next week, Lord willing, at this time, talking about the blood moon phenomena, blood moon tetrad. That's the first of them coming up on the 15th at, I believe it's about 1:20, 1:30 in the morning if you want to stay up to see that lunar eclipse. And so you'd have to stay up actually on the night of the 10th to be up that early. Hey, we're out of time. Stay tuned for another great program with Pastor Rusnacko. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations